gold, a sliver in my... Hey, okay, we're on the air.
Should have heard the previous 3 minutes. Anyway, yeah.
Just a little fun. Welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I am Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertzen, not to go full nerd right off the bat, but did you have some pie today, by any chance?
Oh, it is pie day.
Yeah. I saw some pumpkin pie downstairs. Like, yep, I'm in. Maybe.
It's so weird that we have to have, like, a day for everything, because on Saturday it was... Mario Day, because it was the
like
abbreviation.
Super
is,
Mario?
Yeah, like MAR10. It looks like Mario. Oh,
that out nerds Pi Day by about one digit, I think. Wow. Love it.
Yeah, maybe we should focus on the news. Open Source is a CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show. You can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen. And you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast on Podbean or through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Today, we will talk about Ontario politics. It was another week of a dozen controversies. Week of a thousand controversies. And we'll try to cover as many of them as we can. And then, speaking of controversies, over in Alberta, boy, you should see what they're dealing with. And there hasn't even been an election called yet. So we'll look at the scandals of the United Conservative Party. And then we'll head to the mother of all scandals in the United States, the Russian collusion trials. Many of Trump's friends and allies are in court this week, and we'll talk about what's going on there. But first, in our own nation's capital, the SNC-Lavalin affair looked like it was setting to a simmer this week until today. They had a special emergency meeting of the Justice Committee, and it was ended before a vote could be taken on whether Jody Wilson-Raybould should be invited back to committee. The reaction was... basically, you know, sabotage.
Hooting and hollering. Cover up.
Cover
Someone's
up.
Someone's yelling, cover up.
Yeah.
And of course, Pierre Poilievre, who's on the committee, had that, I believe, rehearsed line. This is no longer the Justice Committee. It's more like the Justin Committee.
Oh,
snap. I don't think that rolls off your tongue. It was a little, you know, somebody handed him that line. Or he stayed up all night thinking of, like, what sharp shock line can I use to...
He was like, he's working, he's workshopping that all night.
I think so.
That was like, it's...
Or one of the handlers
Justice,
gave it to him, right?
Justin. Oh, I'm just going to keep this in my back pocket.
Just you wait till October or whenever the election is. Did you hear this rumor of possibly May? Or do you think that's just jibber jabber or bump it up a notch?
I think it's one of these things that...
So a bit of a sidebar here, folks. But
no, it plays a part.
It's on topic.
They wouldn't go in May, especially not now with SNC-Lavalin stuff. They're not going to bump up the election. Plus, on top of it, you have Alberta going to the polls sometime soon. You have PEI likely going to the polls sometime soon because they're probably going to have their election in the spring. I mean, there's too much going on. There's to you know, move out of the way. It's now the federal election's time. No, I don't think so.
Clear the decks. The feds are coming. Yeah. Right.
And I don't think half the... I mean, the Liberals are way ahead in acclaimed candidates, but, the rest of the parties are struggling. Maybe not struggling, but, you know, I'm not moving as swiftly. I think there's widespread general anticipation that it's going to be a fall campaign. We keep talking about a fall campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think this is partially a media invention because we need some... Or are they going to call an election sooner or later? Sooner or later?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I don't know... What's his face over on?
What's his face on? Who's it's called? We don't know.
Rosie Barton was bored one day, and sources tell me.
What can I plant?
Not that we're accusing Rosie Barton of anything.
Not at all.
The Lavalin thing.
The Lavalin. Let's talk about the Lavalin thing. Yes. So the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
Yes.
Says that they are monitoring allegations that the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister's office interfered in a criminal prosecution against SNC, the one that we talk about all the time. Something else that has come up is the string of bribes to the Gaddafi gang.
Yeah.
Till they were deposed. And I'm saying they, but it was mostly Muammar, but the kids. It seems Junior spent some time in Toronto in 2008 and 2009, and he was wined and dined and supposedly... given the services of prostitutes on the SNC account, it is alleged.
Yeah.
But what is not alleged is it was actually a conservative government then. So I'm surprised. Yeah. There seems to be a lot of conservatives will get up and say, this happened, and SNC bribed these people, and somewhere...
And they went with Barrett on a trip to Libya. SNC exemption.
Yes, they got the exemption for the sanctions. It was like, okay...
Not that we're indemnifying the Trudeau liberals.
No. But this is, they've got a lot of nerve to sort of say, oh, well, you know, they're trying to... SNC is completely Trudeau's problem. It's like, whoever has been the government for the past X number of years...
Mm-hmm.
When did SNC merge and become SNC-Lavalin? I don't know. For however long that is how long these shenanigans have been going on to varying degrees. Don't kid yourself, people. It's not just Justin and the gang, and I'm not absolving them of any blame.
Yeah.
But this is not a new thing. I love how the Tories are trying to, Justin should do the honorable thing. Harper should have done the honorable thing. John Baird should have done the honorable thing, but... John Baird works in industry now. Surprise. I don't know if he has any connections anymore. But
right.
At the time, I thought it was interesting that they got the exemption from the sanctions when the Libyan revolution or revolt or whatever you want to call it. And obviously, you know, we don't even talk about Libya anymore, but I'm sure it's not. If I understand it right, like ISIS people are sort of escaping there to get out of the... to get out of Syria, among other places, but that's a whole nother story.
The big crime, I think, is that it violates the brand. The Justin brand was that this is a new liberal party. We're going to do new things. We're going to do cool things. We're going to have gender parity, and we're not going to do things the old establishment way. And there's nothing more establishment than this of defending old money. Old rich white guys who, you know, think they can bribe their way out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was damning. The Sandy Garcino article in the National Observer of like just like laying it out why this is more, because I think the focus has been on the catfight about conservatives demanding resignations and all that, and liberals sticking up for themselves, and like that's fine. The focus should be on, though, this is a Canadian company that's supposed to appeal to a higher standard, giving him $50 million in bribes to the Gaddafi family, including the son, Saadi Gaddafi, who, in a picture in this article, is wearing a soccer jersey that has the SNC-Lavalin logo upon it. And this picture was taken a few years after. Apparently, he...
That's what
basically
he did.
His dad got him a spot on the soccer team. The fact that his father was the brutal dictator of Libya got him a spot on the soccer team because he's apparently not very good at soccer.
The SNC-Lavalin?
It was a soccer team in Libya. SNC-Lavalin was a sponsor, which is why they had the logo on their jersey. But a few years before that, he was playing. There was a ref call against him, and he was soundly booed by the crowd. And his bodyguards opened fire on the crowd, killing between 20 and 50 people. So this is the kind of people SNC-Lavalin was giving...
Wining and dining. And
millions of dollars in bribes to. And Sandy Garcino made the point that when you look at the McGill hospital bribery scandal, which was the thing that kicked off the Charbonneau Commission.
Scandal.
The
yeah.
local scandal.
Same
that,
company.
You know, that, you know,
different
put location. That basically ended the Jean Charest government a few years ago. That... bribery came to $22.5 million. So they were dumping far more money on Gaddafi, twice as much money on Gaddafi than they were locally. So, I mean, that gives you some sense of the scale about this.
Yeah, and they'll say, well, that's just how it works. They'll say, so I think it was Neil McDonald had an article about, you know, I had to bribe people or I was going to get shot. That is, I think, a little bit different than this.
Right.
How this works, but...
I mean, it's like leaving Cuba. You have to pay $30 Canadian to, like, be allowed to leave Cuba at the end of your vacation. That's that's a little bit different.
A bit of a shakedown, but
you
that's...
You could call that a bribe, but, I mean, that's a little bit different. They're not going to let you on the plane unless you have $30 in cash to give them, but...
Ooh, cash. I guess they don't take debit, whatever. But we need... The other thing
they're
we
driving
need...
cars from 1957, so they might not have debit.
It's ingenious the way they keep those things running, somehow.
Built but to last.
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, we need to talk about the Pizzagate situation.
I don't know if we need to talk about it, but I want to. Yeah.
I feel the need to talk about it.
Yeah, so up in Kitchener, about this time last week, actually, Andrew Scheer was having a town hall. And somebody got up to ask him about the money that the Trudeau government gave to the Clinton Foundation. Because as you all know, the Clinton Foundation is involved in child sex trafficking and child sacrifice.
If you study it.
If you study it.
If you study it on the internet thing, on legitimate sites
Fine,
like 4chan
sites
and Reddit
like,
or whatever.
Like InfoWars.
And InfoWars. If you study it, you'll learn. Yeah. That the Clintons were killing children and trafficking them.
Yeah,
out of a pizza parlor.
Andrew Scheer responded to the question. He turned it to his advantage to talk about how Justin Trudeau sets priorities and what he spends on in terms of foreign spending. He claims not to have heard the Pizzagate preamble and claims to not know what that is, which I find exceptionally difficult to believe, given that it has the gate prefix.
And then gate
that it rose to the level of getting a gate. I could give him the benefit of the doubt, saying that he didn't hear the whole question, but it took him 4 days to denounce it, which makes me highly skeptical.
And then when he denounced it, he said, "This is a ridiculous thing." So maybe he had to Google it. Or study it some more.
He didn't
to
have
see
to Google it. He does what Donald Trump does when a white nationalist, you know, comes out and talks about their support for Donald Trump, which is like, I'm going to pretend that it didn't happen because I don't want to honk off these people because I need their support electorally. And that's what he was trying to do. If he had come right out on the Friday and said, I hadn't heard the rest of the question.
But it was the beginning of the question, right?
Actually, I listened to the clip again and he asked about giving money to the Clinton Foundation and then goes into why he was asking. And that went into child sex trafficking and all that. So
applause.
With that, I'll get to that in a sec. But if he
from
had
a whites-only crowd, by the looks of it.
But if he had come out on the Friday and said, I did not hear the rest of the question, but of course, Pizzagate is a ridiculous, fake conspiracy theory with not an ounce of evidence behind it. It has been proven. And frankly, these sorts of fake stories have resulted in people taking up violent action, as mm-hmm. it did in the case of somebody taking an assault rifle to the actual Cosmic Pizza, where this whole thing is supposed to have gone down. The second thing was, it surprised me how many people applauded that question. It surprised me to no end.
In our neck of the woods, no less.
Just
the Tri-Cities who get our signal and could potentially listen to this show and listen to us debunk things which don't really need debunking because they come pre-debunked. Is that a word? I don't know.
They're pretty bunk.
Yeah, I think the best statement on this whole thing, I don't know what paper it was in, but it was making the rounds on social media, was a political cartoon of Maxime Bernier and Scheer have a voter by the arms. He's got a MAGA hat on, a t-shirt that says Pizzagate something da dee da da da. So these, you generally associate people with these kinds of theories with the People's Party, as there's been some, you know, rumbling, I guess, from them about stuff like this. You sort of expect it of the conservative fringe,
right.
We'll call it. But
there's
this
a big
is
Venn diagram of conspiracy theories. UN migrant pact is going to kill us all, and just general sort of like fringe groups like incels, because you know Bernie actually still posts red pill memes, even though
it's
been explained to him several times what the red pill means.
But with Scheer addressing the pipeline protest, which somehow became beyond the pipelines and was about the UN migrant pact, like you say, and all that stuff, it's like you didn't denounce that. You know, protesting the pipelines is one thing, but then it became about all this other stuff, right?
He also got up on the same stage with Faith Goldie and didn't say boo about it.
That alone should be a black mark in my book, but
it's the same thing happened with Doug Ford.
It's a free speech.
Right, but the same thing happened with Doug Ford last fall, where he was at
Faith is a friend.
One of his events, and he got his picture taken with her, and everyone was like,
lots of people.
What's the deal with you getting your picture taken with a neo-Nazi? And every day it would be, hey, what's up with the neo-Nazi? What's up with the neo-Nazi? And it took like 3 weeks later. It's like, okay, yeah, I denounce neo-Nazis. Like, why is that so hard? It's because you don't want to honk off this base of support who supports you unconditionally. And that's not to say Doug Ford is a white nationalist. But if you look at a Doug Ford tweet and you see the responses to it, you're going to see some freaking white nationalism. No matter the issue,
oh, yeah.
You're going to see it. I promise.
Because they're letting too many in.
Essentially. That's a good segue.
In their opinion, not mine, obviously.
That's a good segue to the doings here in Ontario the last week, which have been very nonstop, as it were. Autism funding is still an issue. I mean, this also has a local connection, I want to say, because there was an autism advocacy group advocating for treating people with autism.
Is it Autism Speaks? Is that the one?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. That said that there may be 1,500 layoffs as a result at provincial treatment centers of the changes. We know of 9 in our own area. Kids Ability announced that their autism services are going to be defunded in 1 year because of these changes. 9 people are going to be laid off, including 2 in Guelph. At the new Kids Ability Center up on Imperial Road, which was opened with sort of the intent that their autism treatment services were actually going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But now they don't know.
Not one frontline worker will be laid off. But they're not public. So they're public money, but private organization, right? Or maybe
true.
A not-for-profit, but they're independent.
That wasn't couched in the language.
They're not going to split that hair. But.
I would call these frontline workers, to be sure.
And then another announcement this week was, with big fanfare on Monday, that $12,300 per student in expanded funding for programs and training will go into the funding pool for children with autism in the system. Mm-hmm. But it was pointed out by one of the unions, I think it was OSSTF, they said mm-hmm. this new funding is the same funding that any brand new student materializing gets. So it's not new money. It's just that the channel, I guess, or the location where these students are is going to be different from the other places. It's the shift, right? It's mm-hmm. almost like a download onto the schools.
Mm-hmm.
That almost sounds bad, but it's not. It's like this particular group need way more attention. Everybody understands and appreciates that, but it almost seems like a download. It's like, well, you know, the schools are going to take care of them. We're going to give them a big $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to cut it. I don't think anybody with a relative or knows somebody with autism or even people with autism would say that is going to be enough. So it's going to be an interesting fall in the school systems, I think.
I admit that I don't know a lot about autism because I don't have anyone in my family that deals with that particular affliction. But from what I've gathered is that autism is a pretty individualistic thing.
Yes.
So
it is a spectrum, right?
It's a spectrum. So, you know,
you got a bit, or
you can't pool that money and say, okay, here's enough money to deal with a class of like 7 or 8 autistic kids. Well, no, because those are 7 to 8 different spots on the autism spectrum, and each one of them has to be handled with a different amount of care, or at least in terms of specific teaching needs. So yeah, it's I don't know who, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, this is one of a bundle of things that this government is doing where it seems kind of half thought through. Like, they're really kind of generating policy on the fly, because we keep getting blowback about cuts to cap and trade, because Enbridge announced this week that they're thinking that heating bills, home heating costs, are going to go up by about $80 in the next couple of years because...
Well, it'll be Trudeau's fault, right?
Well, essentially because there's no plan to deal with the carbon tax here in Ontario except to fight it.
We will fight it.
But Enbridge... says, you know, because there's no plan and because these new costs have to be accounted for, that they could be downloading about $80 per household in the next couple of years, which is sort of the latest faux pas, shall we say, with the Ford government on the electricity file. So
yeah,
it's just kind of bad all around. What else is going on? Oh, no cell phones in classrooms. We should throw that out there.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to that in my tweet there. It's like, cell phones to silent when the show's on. I personally don't think that's a bad idea, but far be it for me to get on the air and say I like something the conservative government's doing. But
I'm glad you said that, because there's also a discussion paper out there about banning single-use plastics.
Who is this government anyway?
Well, I mean, this is it. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. And she's, because she has a kid at the U of G, this woman I was talking to, and she's worried about, you know, student choice initiative and all that. And I said, well, they did bring in that, you know, discussion paper about banning single-use plastics, which, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due when the government does something right.
If they aren't overwhelmed by lobbyists, right, if it isn't, or well, they have friends in some business, say, hemp. That makes hempy straws or something.
Well, this
like
is
that would probably be why there always seems to be, and I hate to be this pessimistic, an ulterior motive, not necessarily just conservatives as to what they do. So be like, we'll talk about that because it seems like a good thing. Mm-hmm. Student choice seems like a good thing.
Well,
so good that we might not be here this time next year, but that again is another story.
Well, again, that is Scotty's pessimism showing through.
Yeah, I should just sit here and growl for half an hour and you'll know how I'm feeling these days, in my opinion.
But no,
my growling opinion.
I found it fascinating when it was announced because this was sort of like one of the lesser scandals during the Rob Ford mayoralty. But he ran on getting rid of the 5-cent fee on plastic bags in Toronto. And then he got the vote. It managed to squeak through, removing the 5 cents. And then council passed a measure to get rid of all plastic bags in Toronto, which I don't think, well, I know for a fact didn't actually ultimately go anywhere. But, I mean, to have Doug Ford now, or at least his government, saying, how about we take away all single-use plastics? It's just like an incredible sort of 180. If it doesn't happen, it speaks to how far that issue has come.
Mm-hmm.
That it's even just like even in a PC government, it's a discussion paper. It's an option.
Or they're creating a distraction.
That too.
But
yes,
if it happens, we'll take it, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there are places that make paper bags an option, or. I mean, Value Village, that's what I'm thinking of. Value Village, they give you paper bags now instead of plastic.
Really?
Bags.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never get a bag at the Village, but I'm not buying megatons of stuff. Le Village.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's getting there. And a lot of restaurants, a lot of fast food chains have taken it on their own to introduce paper straws or get rid of straws.
University of Guelph.
Yeah. So, it's not a cuckoo fringe idea. One thing I will address is, again, this is one of those under the radar things, but it may affect our area, which is like whether or not they're going to amalgamate certain cities that are presently represented by regional governments. And this came up the other day in Cambridge. Doug Ford was in town mostly to talk about how they were fighting climate change or fighting...
Pretending
the carbon
to fight
tax.
Climate change? Yes, the carbon tax. No climate change fight there.
But he was asked about amalgamating Waterloo Region into a megacity, and he said that he doesn't want to discuss it until Minister Clark rolls out his plan to reduce the size and cost of Ontario government, which kind of sounds like like the fix is in and the blintzes are boiling on this matter that, you know, come later this spring, we're going to be talking about a megacity in Niagara, a megacity in Peel, a megacity in Waterloo.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll be K-Dub and Cambridge, or it's all speculative at this point, but...
Well,
we're
I don't
far
know.
Enough away that we'll probably remain on our own, but
well, there's no
maybe
there's
not.
No region of Wellington, so
we might have to absorb Elora and Fergus. So the Tri Cities will be just the
well. Then,
smaller
then you could go
island.
There on a bus, which would be nice, but presumably
good
you might
point,
have to service
actually amalgamate. Do it,
but I mean, yeah, yeah, it's I mean, Cambridge is still sore about being amalgamated back in the 90s. Like Galton, like there's like one guy
there's
who's
still
like
people like I'm from Galt, I'm not
yeah,
from.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah, I mean, if you're wondering, like check out Cambridge News sometime because like they're trying to fight over like where they're going to build this sports complex. There's like five different proposed sites. They've
you
eliminated
can't put it in
three
Preston.
Of them.
Yeah,
trying to get the LRT rolling through Cambridge. Well, you can't roll it through here. You're gonna have to roll it through. You're not rolling it through my backyard. There's just if you think amalgamating the regions is going to be easy, look at how sore Cambridge is about all of it.
I'm just old enough to remember the Mississauga amalgamation, and it was great fanfare back then. Well, we got commemorative coins that said, oh, Streetsville is now part of Mississauga.
Interesting you should say that, because Bonnie Crombie is in a Globe and Mail interview is talking about Mississauga separating from Peel Region and being its own municipality, which seems rather pie in the sky given where the provincial government is going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually...
I'm
in favor of more local government, period.
What's Mississauga got now? 700,000, though.
725.
Right? Yeah, so that's... There's always, even in the McCallion years, there was always bickering about the having to support the regions. You know, the plow down in South Mississauga is actually also up in Caledon.
Well, when you think about how many people are in Peel now.
Yeah.
You know, when you include Brampton. Brampton and Mississauga alone are over a million.
For sure. And I guess there was some sort of shots across the bow there when they got rid of the regional chair.
Yeah.
Which presumably we assume was to shut Patrick Brown out, who became mayor of Brampton anyway.
How? We'll never know.
Yes. But. Which is in Peel Region. Yeah, it was a weird meeting. Not a weird meeting, but there's a meeting where they're all sitting around and Patrick Brown's right in there. And it's like, well, that's probably awkward. But he's got the gig, and
might be some awkward phone calls considering the Minister of Finance is suing him for $8 million.
Ooh. Didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah, from the book. From Patrick Brown's book.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Fideli.
Yeah.
Nikki F. Should we touch briefly on the OPP situation? That
yes.
We finally have a new...
yes.
Not to say deputy dog, but he was...
Thomas Kerrigan was announced new OPP commissioner after Ron Tavener finally accepted
finally
the inevitable
the message.
of not that he's not going to get the job. Yeah, it... I mean, this was always as dirty as freaking sin. You know, how he ended up getting the job. My hope is, I mean, it's likely not going to go away because the former deputy OPP commissioner is, I believe, suing the government for wrongful dismissal. But I do think that there needs to be a, you know, a full accounting of how this decision was reached. I mean, we have pictures of Doug Ford dining with Tavener and chums like the Toronto police chief having like changing job descriptions last minute.
I have dinner with people all the time.
The whole thing with the OPP van and him emailing about how he doesn't trust his, you know, having all these new, you know, plain clothes bodyguards every day. It's
something
just
to the effect of the F. I'm having problems with the effing OPP. Can't say the word.
Right.
Wash his mouth out with.
Well,
I don't know.
Can you imagine if there was
organic soap?
Can you imagine if Kathleen Wynne had sent an email like that?
Ooh.
Not that we want to play whataboutism, but
she would just jog, and then you don't have to worry about the van.
Well, I won't say.
We
what
should
I'm,
try and get Kathleen Wynne on. You
know? I won't say. I won't say what. She might. I won't say what I'm thinking in terms of Doug Ford and jogging. But we will go to commercial, and we will play our music, and then we will come back with. If you thought Ontario had some stuff going on, wait until you hear what's going on in Alberta. Anyway, that's coming up next. You're listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
That's certainly in keeping with the nerdy Pi Day theme. That was a band called VT100. And the song was some kind of, it's a wave file. I can't even, it's just a bunch of numbers. And that's how nerdy this is. I'll read it to you. It's SEQ underscore 09.441 underscore 16 dot WAV is the name of the song. I played that not just because it was Pi Day, but one of my first jobs out of school. out of this fine institution was doing inventory control on a VT-100 dumb terminal. So that'll mean something to somebody out there, I guess.
Well, it's on the cover art.
It's on the cover. It's the head of the robot that supposedly played that music. And that wasn't any sampling. That was actually live synth stuff. I should really just do an electronica show and we can talk. Well, not we. You want to come on my electronica show that doesn't exist? No.
Wow.
There's got to be one out there. So that's for all you Pi Day.
Well, speaking of good ideas, if you don't pay attention to Alberta politics, you're really missing out. Because right now there's a scandal about what's called the Kamikaze Mission. And it is alleged that Jeff Calloway, who is one of the other leadership contenders for the United Conservative Party back in 2017, it is being alleged that he and Jason Kenney had basically an agreement where Calloway would do the mudslinging at Kenney's main political opponent, Brian Jean, who was the former leader of the Wild Rose Party pre-amalgamation. And in exchange for, or because of this, Calloway would get to do the mudslinging and Jason Kenney would be able to stay above the fray, quote unquote, above the fray, and thus elevating his leadership status or his leadership appearance. So this is being investigated by the election commissioner, including allegations about fundraising, some people sending funds to James Calloway, who may not have or should not have been sending him funds or not doing funds in his own name. So it's really quite mucky and probably at the worst possible time, considering some people were expecting Rachel Notley to announce an election as soon as Monday.
But she might wait, because if all of this is going to transpire next week, then if there's a whiff of scandal, of course you're going to, you know, kind of let that play out a la SNC-Lavalin, maybe. Although I guess the federal liberals don't have much choice in the timing, but Premier Notley has all kinds of choice in the timing. So it would seem that some people are, I don't have the list in front of me, but some people have already been fined and disciplined over this. I think it's at least three. And there's a list of, I guess, suspicious donations in relation to this. I have to clarify that this is all alleged right now.
All alleged.
No
collusion.
No collusion. That's purely alleged. It was alleged. We got to get Trump saying alleged. I'm going to start tweeting him saying allegedly. So this is sort of in the pipe, hasn't come down yet. But what an interesting approach, the straw candidate approach. It's like he can suck away some votes and then I can win this thing, allegedly. And there's been a lot of, just in sort of researching this story, there's been a lot of shenanigans, it would seem, in riding associations involving who is going to be the UCP candidate. I'll just give you a couple of examples. There was somebody who campaigned actively for a year in a riding called Edmonton Meadows. Mm-hmm. He's completely shut out from the appointment and this came from the top, for somebody named Len Rhodes, who was not a Rhodes scholar, but he was the president of the Edmonton Eskimos. So star candidate trumps this person who was campaigning actively for years. I believe his name was Arundeep Sandhu. With another example, I have about six, but there was Red Deer South, the same thing. Well, we're going to postpone the meeting because there's a high profile individual wants to run, never transpired. But in Calgary East was interesting because there was allegations of fraud, forgery, and improper inducement and bribery. This is big stuff for the alleged winner. His name was Peter Singh, who signed up customers at his business as UCP members and got them to come to the meeting, and they managed to get the nomination. As far as I understand it, he still has the nomination. Mm-hmm. I have three more examples I won't get into, but this was just sort of me scratching the surface on UCP. What's going on? You put in UCP and scandal, and all of this comes up. And this is on top of the big one, which looks like it's going to drop next week. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if Kenny is just going to kind of disappear or back off, or is he going to go for the throat? And it's going to be very interesting to see.
Well, the question is, does it matter? Because if you are someone who doesn't like the NDP government and those people outnumber the people who do like the NDP government, you know, the UCP's kind of your shot, although the Alberta Party's making waves. Mm. Although the leader of the Alberta Party is technically barred from running in an election for 5 years because of some misfiled election campaigning paperwork.
They're still looking for paperwork.
He's actually pretty upbeat about it. He says it's helping the party's prestige. it's getting them notices.
I'm a regular person. I misfile paperwork all
right,
the time.
Yeah, basically. Hmm. So the 5 years just started. The 5 year bar just started. So it's not like if the election is like postponed for a month, he'd get to run. No, he won't even be able to run in the next election.
Probably not.
But. Yeah, the Alberta Party is making waves. And then you have Brian Jean, meanwhile. A lot of people thought he was going to be jumping in to run in the election in the Alberta Party. He actually resigned from his from being an MLA last year. And he was the whole, like, I'm going to spend more time with my family thing. But there were rumblings that he was going to jump in for the Alberta Party. He has gone on Twitter today and said, no, I am not running for the Alberta Party. There is some kind of announcement coming, but it's not his announcement to run, is what he said. So
he's going to spend even more time with the family. He's going to spend extra time.
That would be amazing. It's like
you said that already. You need a new thing.
If my family, I'm going to spend time with other people's
family. Going to spend time with Jason Kenney's mom.
Oh, maybe.
Jason's in the basement, right? Or no? Is that?
Oh, that
he was.
You know what? That scandal was so a couple of months ago.
No. I know, but I'm just. I just wanted to get a little shot in there.
Right.
Nothing wrong with living in mom's basement, but.
No.
But if you're expensing it.
Well, yeah.
You know. I'm sure she'd let you stay there for another million.
If you're basically pulling a Mike Duffy, yeah.
I had two addresses.
Right. No. I live in Calgary, even though I've never been back there for a while. But that's fine. So, yeah, Brian Jean, maybe not. The other thing was Prab Gill, who accused UCP of like having people following him around with recording him on video and then posting it on social media. I mean, that was another kind of like, this is something that's going to get bigger, that, you know, the kamikaze thing kind of forced off. But it's just like there's all these things nibbling around the edges. Of what should be a cakewalk. That was what I was trying to get at earlier, just a couple of minutes ago. This should be a cakewalk for Jason Kenney. That you don't have to dink around with nomination meetings and, you know, do this skullduggery of, like, signing up people who aren't party members who are going to be party members so they can vote for you. It's like it's going to be a cakewalk. And, you know, whatever you want to say about Rachel Notley, things can be said, some fair, some unfair, some drastically unfair, but this is the UCP's to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest killer against that, the conservative dynasty, it wasn't that Prentice was necessarily a bad premier, although he did some kind of, made some weird things electorally, said some weird things that probably didn't hurt to help him, but the biggest thing was that it was 40 years and the scandals had piled up. And the scandals are piling up for the UCP, and they've only been a party for 2 years and not in government.
So they haven't even sat yet.
Yeah.
It's interesting that thing you mentioned about Parm Gill, that the footage was of him meeting with some, supposedly, presumably somebody from the NDP.
Prab Gill.
It's almost like Prab Gill. It's like somebody sitting.
Parm someone else.
Parm Gill, yeah. We're confusing our Gills. I'm confusing our Gills. Robin Gill's relation. I don't know. It's like somebody sitting in the leather chair filming these guys coming out, and Rachel Notley got a pretty good shot in because Jason Kenney's comments last week about men understand tactical politics a little better than women.
Oh, my goodness.
And Rachel Notley said, well, you know, we've got the largest feminist caucus and 10 cabinet members. They're willing to help you with your tactics if you want to, and you won't even have to secretly film it, which was the best little jab. I guess if you knew the story, you'd be like, oh, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's going to be lots of jabbing back and forth, probably mostly on Twitter, but maybe in front of the ethics commissioner. We'll see.
Well, it is sad and awake. From the Rachel Notley side, there's a McLean story this week. Rachel Notley has fought like hell for Alberta, but the province isn't about to thank her. And I think
oh, no.
That is like probably the the B story in all of this.
Yeah.
Which is that, you know, there are plenty of people in NDP across the country, which is, as we've pointed out again, the NDP, the provincial side and the federal side in some of these parties isn't precisely aligned, but the NDP is one of those where it tends to be a national caucus, whether you're in the provincial side or the federal side.
Well, when you join the NDP, you're a member of all of it.
Right. So, you know, Rachel Notley has said and done some things which have, you know, her support for pipelines and the Alberta oil, and she's certainly brassed off, you know, the champagne liberals in downtown Toronto and downtown Vancouver. You know, so she doesn't have like a lot of good friends in her own party, but she has been ferocious in her defense of Alberta and Albertan interests and has had to make some damn difficult decisions given the fact that oil's been in the tank, no pun intended, for pretty much the entirety of her government. You know, unless like suddenly, you know, oil adds, you know, $80 to the price of a barrel of oil.
The magic pipeline arrives.
Yeah, unless like, you know, somebody wiggles their nose and a pipeline appears out of nowhere. It's, you know, it's not going to get, you know, that picture's not going to get better for her. But, you know, there are people blaming her all over the place. And it's like, you really couldn't have gotten someone who was going to fight harder for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference between her and Kenny is the appearance that suddenly a UCP government is going to bring the oil boom back. Is that going to be the case? I'm not really sure.
They're saying that they will, and they are friends of oil. There's no secret there. But I think part of it is any legislation, good, bad, or whatever, that the NDP has passed will be undone.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, that'll be the first order of business. As
well,
they're already
talking about undoing the super lab that the NDP was going to build in
and privatizing it
in Edmonton. Yeah,
so that's what you need to expect in the Alberta. Once, you know, the assumption that the UCP government gets in, it's just going to be more of that, more of the same. People should know exactly what to expect. They're gunning to privatize everything, planning to take over the world. Anyway.
I want to mention one more thing. Speaking of Brian Jong, he wrote an op-ed where he called the UCP as fiscally irresponsible as the NDP.
Ooh.
With their plan to cut corporate taxes.
There's a shot.
So I don't think, you know, whether he's running or not, I have a feeling that Brian Jong is probably fired up.
Mulcair style, just sort of get some shots in and then
retreat. Kind of Mulcair style, yeah.
Retreat.
Anyway.
Take the check and run.
I
don't know if he's paid for his comments, by the way. I just...
Mulcair?
Brian Jean.
Oh, Brian... Well,
or Brian Jean. Is he Jean?
We're Canadian. Let's say Jean.
Monsieur Jean?
I don't...
He doesn't want to seem too French, though, because then people won't vote for him in Alberta.
But I've never heard
Quebec's
people use
fault.
Brian Jean.
Jean
I've never
Genie.
I never heard anybody say Brian
in
Jean.
In Canada, it is definitely Jean.
Yeah.
Jean Valjean. Jean yeah. Chrétien.
Yeah.
And Jean Charest. Jean
yeah.
Charest.
Oh, my God.
No, right. It's only Gomeshi was Jean, and then he went Jean. Anyway, all right.
I think it was Jean.
J-boy.
Moving on.
Yeah, you better.
in the United States today, well, we'll start with yesterday. Paul Manafort was given an extra 3.5 years on top of his prison sentence. So he's going to serve about maybe 7 years when it's all said and done.
Did they say what jail? Is it Cupcake Jail? Like
probably.
Like where Conrad Black was?
Camp Cupcake, yeah, probably. I didn't hear.
And then you can otherwise, come out and write op-eds.
I mean, I think there's
the
like
New York Times.
I think there's like a formal, jeez, yeah.
Or whoever. Or sorry, National Post. Sorry, New York Times. I meant actually, yeah.
There are a lot of dingbats right from the New York Times. It was fair.
Ooh.
I'm on the op-ed page specifically. I mean, David Brooks still works there.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are mad about this because basically everyone, including Manafort's own daughter, agree that he worked for years taking blood money from dictators.
Awful when the kids turn on you.
She sent an actual text to her friend saying that her father earned his fortune through blood money. That's a quote. She used the term blood money.
She's not in the will.
She knows.
She's not in the inheritance.
But
there's an account in the Caymans that does not have your name on it.
So a lot of people are pretty ticked off, especially the federal judge from last week who said that Manafort had lived, other than for these like corruption things, he's lived a pretty upstanding life as an American citizen. which ticked off a lot of people because, you know, when you think about Trayvon Martin or, you know, Michael Brown. Or,
very good point. Yeah.
You know, people who get shot dead in front of subway stations for selling single cigarettes or
Manafort,
playing with
however,
a toy gun in the park.
Just realizing the American dream,
right,
of shafting people and rolling in money like Scrooge McDuck.
Right.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
DuckTales.
Deep in the DuckTales, yes, deep in the recesses. So yeah, Manafort going down. There was other announcements, I guess, this week. Sort of relate, although with Manafort, no collusion.
Right. That was,
well,
the other thing.
Above everything else, I know he was my friend and dee-dee-dee-dee.
Right.
Trump's like, no collusion.
Well, he
wasn't even a thing with Manafort. It's like, it's not on the radar.
And the judge chastised the defense for, in their documents, for pretty much writing no collusion over and over again for 500 lines. not quite, but almost. Saying that, you know, clearly this was meant to appeal to an other audience, meaning President Donald Trump, who said that he hasn't even thought about pardoning Manafort, even though last fall he said that he was thinking about it.
Yes. Who else is in the news? Roger Stone.
Roger Stone was
in
court today. He's going to go have his trial starting in early November. It's going to last 2 or 3 weeks, they say.
And even though this is supposed to be a gag order, he re-released his book, which is called The Myth of Russian Collusion.
Right.
Which sounds a lot like his version of If I Did It by O.J. Simpson.
Know, right?
It's like, it's a myth.
Right.
If you keep saying there's no collusion, that doesn't mean it's, you know, it's like saying there's no sun.
Well, it's fascinating.
There's no moon
because
and there's no collusion.
A few weeks ago, he was given this gag order. And then, like, a week later, his team was like, oh, yeah, we were re-releasing that book in a couple of weeks. We forgot.
So I think he's been hauled in to explain that.
Yes. Yes. That was,
what were they calling it? Unexplained consistencies or inconsistencies? Like,
yeah.
Oh.
And I think the judge said that she will be revisiting this later. She didn't have all the details at her disposal, so she'll be looking into that further. Also in court this week is Michael Flynn, who was national security advisor for 3.5 minutes before he had to be fired for his collusion with other foreign powers.
Doesn't the judge famously said, like, you've sold out the USA or something like that? He admonished him in front of
Should have been tried for treason. Yeah.
Yeah, should have been tried for treason. That's it.
He is awaiting sentencing. His sentencing was delayed from December because he was participating with a special counsel. And it looks like they're still waiting for that process to go forward before he is formally sentenced. Although he's not, from what I understand, he's not still assisting the special counsel, but he may be called to testify in other cases. So maybe that's why he's not being sentenced right away. And then Rick Gates is likely... Well, maybe not likely. He might be sentenced tomorrow. Rick Gates was Paul Manafort's deputy and is the one person in all of this who, well, aside from Flynn, but he was the one person on the campaign who was on the campaign in the transition on the inaugural committee. So he touches at least several different scandals and things that are being investigated.
But is he the rat? Is he going to get a lighter sentence because he's been giving information? I got that impression.
Mm-hmm.
He was giving more information to the probe.
Well, even
don't blame me, blame him. It was this.
Well, even Michael Flynn's attorneys have said that he should not get any prison time because of his cooperation. But that seems pretty unlikely considering he was planning on kidnapping someone for money. It's tough to say. But on top of it all, the House of Representatives did vote 420-0 that the Mueller report should be made public. So that's something.
And we're in for some exciting times. Any bets on when that's coming out? Soonish. Sooner rather than later, obviously. But I wonder what the timing's going to be.
People have been leaving the special counsel's office to go back to their old jobs at the FBI or whatever. So it's winding down.
The secondment is over. You're going back to, yeah.
So, they've been, who was it on the team Trump who was saying, like, oh yeah, it'll come out at Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving passes. I was like, no, it'll come out at Christmas passes. Oh, it'll be out after the New Year, and New Year passes. And it's.
But you have to imagine if people are going back to their old jobs, let's say, or their other assignments, then
something's coming. It's indicative. It's not necessarily conclusive. Meanwhile, Donald Trump himself, and we just have to read this quote. He said in an interview with Breitbart News Washington political editor Matthew Boyle, apparently that is a real job, he said, "You know, the left plays a tougher game. It's very funny. I actually think that the people on the right are tougher, but they don't play it tougher. Okay? I can tell you I have the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of the Bikers for Trump. I have the tough people, but they don't play it tough until they go to a certain point, and then it would be very, very bad. But the left plays it cuter and tougher, like with all the nonsense they do in Congress, with all this investigations. That's all they want to do is, you know, they do things that are nasty. Republicans never played this way. Benghazi!" That's all I have to say.
But that, I mean, that's how you talk when you have had too much junk food and your blood sugar's off and you need a nappy poo. That's what
this
you
is
get.
Bobcat Goldthwait stuff.
Yeah,
this is,
it does. It almost sounds like a comedy routine. I was thinking that when you were saying that. So you just need like a funny voice that isn't Trump's, and it could very well be stand up. But you know, yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's word salad, but I mean, it's very frightening to read those in like black and white. Like, I can tell you, I have the support of the police, the military,
and bikers
for Trump. I have the tough people, and they can go to a certain point, and then it would be very, very bad.
They might run somebody over the car or something like
I
that.
I wonder what that could mean. You know, that's like dictatorial stuff.
Picture the
I have the police. I have the military. I have people in uniform. If you don't stop harassing me, it's
yeah, disgusting. They're going to be marching up the street when the Mueller report comes out. I'll be like, I'm just picturing that. What's the movie? Pink Floyd's The Wall. The hammer is marching. here we come.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming to get you, lefties. So be careful.
Yeah, I mean,
watch yourself, girl. What's her name? What did he call the girl? Ocasio-Cortez, like the girl. You know that girl?
AOC. Yeah.
You know that girl from Brooklyn?
I think technically she's from the Bronx and Queens.
Oh, the Bronx, yeah. So what's the Brooklyn? Confusing my New York locales.
I think she went to Brooklyn College, but that's fine.
AOC from the Bronx.
Yeah. AOC from the Bronx. I just want to wrap the Boeing MAX scandal, the 737 MAX.
Oh, yeah. A complicated airplane.
Right. It's worth pointing out that the FAA, which is the oversees all airplanes in the States, hasn't had a permanent director for over a year because Donald Trump hasn't appointed one, although he did float the idea of appointing the guy who pilots his own airplane as the director of the FAA. So, you know what?
He drives an old Spitfire.
It's all, basically, it's all fun.
Disconnect the computer.
It's all fun and games until a plane falls out of the sky onto a neighborhood.
Twice.
So,
oh,
yeah.
No, yeah, well, hopefully not. But
I mean,
it's a software issue. It's like, well, fix the software.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Even though Trump's tweeting out that he doesn't want Einstein to fly his plane, but that's another story.
The corpse of Einstein. Einstein's ghost.
Well, we definitely don't want Einstein's ghost flying your plane. I just want to say, before we wrap up, CFRU has petitions out to try and save the station and other campus-based services from the Student Choice Initiative. The petition is all over town. I know there's one down at Royal Cat Records, Eric the Baker, The Beat Goes On. It's about a dozen places around town. We also have it here at the station, obviously. So if you would like to help us out, try and find one of these petitions and add your name to it.
If you're at the market on Saturday, it's at the big
umbrella. Right.
The table with everything.
Right. The it's
beside the calf.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right front and center when you go in to the right.
Please sign. We need your support.
And there is also the province-wide walkout on Wednesday, and I believe CFRU will be doing something for that. And by the way, CFRU will be open on College Royal weekend. So come on in and stop by and say hi. I don't know if we'll be here, but people from CFRU will be here.
John Fahey will be here on Sunday.
There you go.
Yep.
Anyway, you can find us on our website, opensourcesguelph.com, Open Sources Newswire on Facebook, at @OS_Guelph on the Twitters, and you can download this and past episodes on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. I can be found at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter, and you can go to my site, guelphpolitico.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I blog at spanderbook.wordpress.com. And there probably may be something up there, maybe, sort of, maybe.
Don't tease the people.
Keep your eyes open.
Don't tease the people. Speaking of the people, DJ Sounds Good Means here at the top of the hour here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca. the Guelph Campus and Community Radio. We'll be back here next Thursday at 5 p.m. for more Open Sources, and we will see you then.